Don't be afraid of the number of bits of paper I have. I've discovered early on that the number of bits of paper I have is totally independent of how long I'll talk for. So it used to be 4 pages would do 40 minutes, and I've got 10 here, but no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. All right, yeah, it's good to be back. For those who don't know, I was in America for a couple of weeks, and it was an interesting experience. For me, going back, especially to the South, is almost like going back home. And then if I go to my parents' house, it's like going back home. And coming here is also like coming back home to my spiritual home. So it's great. It's an honor to be able to speak here in front of you guys. Right, so at the moment, we're going through a series called Unblocking the Well. Right, so it's been going for the last month or so. We've had a couple of weeks. So the first week, we had Josh talking about what are things in our life which are blocking up this well. How are we blocking up the well? So we talked about things like sin is separation from God. How can we expect God to be working for our lives if we're separating ourselves from Him? Along with that was doubt. How can we do the work of God if we're too scared to do it? If we have doubt in our lives or self-doubt, that we won't do things, that's obviously going to put a hindrance in our life. And then, the devil and temptations. That's extra hurdles in our lives, which is going to, block up the well, stop or prevent or hinder God working for our lives. In the second week, I wasn't here for this, we talked about muddying the water, right? What are we seeing? What are we hearing? What's getting into our lives, which is helping or is bending our morality, Well, in short, if our morality is bent, we're unintentionally sinning, right? If we don't know what's right and wrong, we think we're doing right, but if that's actually wrong, we're sinning, then we're back to what the first talk was about. We've got sin. We've now got separation between us and God. All right. So I would like to carry on with this theme of unblocking the well, and today I'd like to talk about prayer. Okay? So, right. So who can remember their first prayer or how they learned to pray? All right, one for two people, three people, fantastic. And Liam. in my life, when I was a little tot, I remember, you know, at night time, your dad comes into your room and you sit down and do your prayers, and it's just, thank you, God, for this, thank you, God, for that, thank you, I kicked the rugby ball today, or whatever the case may be when you're 5 and 6. And that's actually a great way of with our young ones, introducing the prayer and introducing them to that God hears their prayers and a sense of thanksgiving. Also like at your meal time, right? You say grace, thanks God for what is given for us today, and that sense of gratitude. For those of you who unfortunately didn't grow up in a Christian home, it could have been the sinner's prayer, or the first approach you had to prayer was following after someone. You heard people praying and someone just led you for a prayer and you sort of followed them. But the question is, as we grow up, as we're being discipled, as we're becoming more Christ-like, have we actually learned to pray? Has that changed? Have we just, the only way we're praying is just as we've gotten older from how we grew up? We learned from your dad kneeling down to our next to our bed. Have we actually learned how to pray? Have we even thought about that? All right, so that's what I want to cover today. Prayer is so much more than just talking to God. It is more than just building a relationship with God, but it's also about how we relate to God. Okay, so conveniently, Jesus told us sort of how to pray. Right now, Jesus is God, and Jesus knows lots of things, so it's actually quite nice that, you know, Jesus should know how to pray, since Jesus is God, and Jesus is talking to a God, so you can almost say Jesus is talking to himself, so he should know how to do that properly. And conveniently, in Matthew, he's given us instructions of how to do that. All right, so we get the first sort of slide, magic radio. So what I'm talking about today is going to be found in Matthew 6, 5 to 13. So for those who know your Bibles, this is the Sermon on the Mount, right? So Jesus is up there and told about a lot of things. I think Joshua talked about some of these things a couple of years ago. The Beatitudes. Who here can remember some of the Beatitudes? Or just yell them out. Poor people in spirit. What that? Humble. Pure in heart. Persecuted, these are all my parents always liked. Oh, close. Imagine two brothers always fighting. These are the peacemakers, right? And there's a few of them. And the hungry, that speaks quite a lot, right? And then after that, he talks about salt. We have to be the salt, okay? Well, if you get a bit of food, a little bit of salt, a little bit of seasoning, that's what we're to be. We're out in the world, and we have a little bit of influence. If we have too much influence, too much salt, people are going to push right back. A little bit of influence, it's going to be a lot more effective. We're talking about the light. We're supposed to be the light. What's the point of hiding out in the cupboard or under a desk? If we're in the light, we have to be out in the world to actually light something up. And then briefly going through a bit more. So the law is to be on our hearts. The law is also not for show. And then he went over a few things, murder and anger and adultery and a whole lot of things which we can never do on our own. And eventually, we get to prayer. All right, fantastic. So if you want to start off on the... Right, you read my mind, wherever you are. Okay. So here we got, this is the words of Jesus recorded and written down, so we can go through this. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Okay, first verse. So look at that. And when means you should be praying. It's not an if you pray, when means we are expected to pray. So, right. Everyone's got that one sort of clear. Yeah. Go back. Not finished yet. We are, yeah? Yeah. Sweet. Okay. All right. They love to pray standing. So who here is standing on the synagogue corners and praying? Anyone off at Queensgate? We're good? We got that one?
Sam?
Yeah, I'll believe that one. Okay. So in our society, in our culture, we probably don't have too much of a problem with this one. We're not. You know, but in that culture, that was something which they did. It was all for show. And then if we follow on to the end, they receive their reward in full. So what can we get if we pray?
A reward,
right. So there is a reward for praying. Okay, let's move to the next one. Brilliant. But when you pray, again, when, not if, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, so go into your room. In those days, your room was pretty much just your house, right? There's not like mansions, McMansions we have now. So go into your room, isolate yourself from others. This is something which is private. You don't want people sort of seeing. This is you and God. This is you isolating. No iPads and stuff like that. Is that going to be a problem for some people? Right, so you're free from distractions. And once again, we'll talk about you'll get a reward. Yeah. Now, a reward does not equal wants, okay? It doesn't mean God's going to give you your flash car, he's going to give you your cool job, he's going to give you a hot girlfriend, and he might give you that, but that's, you know. But they are not, like, guaranteed. A reward is something different, but we're going to cover that a bit later on. Okie dokie. Right, so next one on. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay, so babbling like pagans. What do you guys think that sort of means? Showing off? Lots of words, long words, lots of intensity. Why would you do that? You see, if you do all these words, are you trying to have a magical formula to try to bend God's will to ours? Is that really going to work? Do you guys remember that song when you're growing up? My God is so big. It's the first time I've sung in church. Oh, mighty, my words can... Okay, so the song doesn't go, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, my words can bend God's will. Okay, we cannot bend God's will. All right? So babbling's a waste of... Right. How small do you think, or how big is your God if you can bend his will? Yeah. All right? Okay. So we think about God, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. When we pray, we're not informing God of anything. It's not like, God, yep, I'm hungry. You what? I'm hungry. Oh, well, that's sad. You should tell someone about it. I am. I'm telling you. God already knows, right, what your needs are. You know, something's more like hunger or if you're sick. God already knows these things. If you need money, God knows these things. He knows your needs before you need it. How often in our lives has God answered a miracle, which had to be the mechanics of it for it to be answered, was put in motion before you even needed it? Okay? Yeah, so God, yeah, right. We can carry on. Okay, so now we're getting into, right, so we'll do a quick summary first. So in summary, how do we not pray?
Publicly.
Well, we can pray publicly, but it's not for show, okay? And we're not trying to bend God's, twist God's arm. That's really not going to work. And we're not praying to inform, right? So God conveniently has given us a model of how to pray. Now, this is not a formula. It's not like, say four words here, put a turkey in a pot, boil it, boom, genie makes a wish, right? It's not like that. This is just a model. And you guys have all seen what's going to come, right? Hopefully for most of you, this is not brand new Lord's Prayer, right? You know, most of you or half of you probably know this by heart, I hope, you know. When I was growing up with the Anglican Church, it was almost like a Christian badge once you memorize this. Actually, for Scouts, I got a badge because I memorized this. but then again, they don't actually teach you the mean behind it, right? You just blah, 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 out it comes. Right. Okay, so here we go. And this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay? This is not, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I would like a car and I'm hungry and can you fix? No. This is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now when Kate and William, King William, Prince William, and the Georgie one, you know, when a royal turns up, it's George, isn't it? George? Georgie Pie? Right. When royals turn up, there's a protocol of how you address them, right? There's some sort of, is your royal highness, somehow I remember that from Pippa, but your royal highness. Right, so here we have the Lord of all creations, creator of the whole universe, and he has told us how we are to address him, and we're to address him with the name Father. Right, we've got all this heavenly kingdom, king of all things, and to address him Father. Alright, so, oh, don't need that. Right, so, our Father, he's stronger than us. Our Father, he's smarter than us. He's more tender than us. Our Father, it's got authority attached to it, right? He's got our best interests in heart. Okay, so we have our Father in heaven. It's heaven, this great, magnificent place far away. So our Father in heaven. Hallowed. Hallowed means holy, revered, sacred, sanctified. He's the master. He's the creator. He's an eternal. He's so big. He was here before we were. He'll be here after we are gone. Yeah. Our Father in hallowed be your name. Pause. We seem so insignificant compared to this Father, God, creator, being, but we're not, are we? Because he's called us to be Father. Even though we're so small, he's reached down and said, you can call me Father. So moving on, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom, not my kingdom. Your will, not my will. How often are we wanting God first to fix things in our kingdom? God, please fix my kingdom of finances. It's a mess. God, fix my kingdom at work. Fix my family. God, I know I'm right, and I know that you agree with me, so you're right. But just fix them. They just do not see that I'm right. Please change my family to see that I'm right, and then we can all be in sync. No. It doesn't work that way. God, I've got issues. No. First, I mean, don't forget in verse 8. Remember verse 8? God, there's a hint, knows, right? God knows our issues. We can put them a bit of a delay, right? So first, we're thinking, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay. See, we're not here to bend God to my direction, right? What will be more fulfilling? For us to do the will of God or to spend our lives trying to change God? Okay. Here's a quick question. All right, so you got Lazarus, the resurrection of Lazarus. Do you guys all know that sort of story? Yeah. Lazarus come out, right. How long did Jesus spend praying for Lazarus? That was how long he spent waiting. How long was the prayer? About 10 seconds, 10 seconds. Like, Father, you know you want to do this. I want to do this. We're in sync. The only reason I'm praying this is that other people to hear the fact that I'm actually praying. Badoomfa, he's walking out, right? Lazarus come out. I don't know if he said badoomfa. It was my boom. I don't know. Right. How long was Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? Long time. Hours. The length of our prayers shouldn't be what we're praying for. It's how long it takes for us to be into God's will. All right? Okay, thanks to Tony Dale, real bad puns coming up. If we cannot expect a move of God to come cheaply, we must be a people willing to pray the price. Prayer isn't about asking God to move. He wants to move, but it's us moving to be in sync with God. Because think about it, if we're asking God to move against God's will, trying to realize what my train of thought was right there, wouldn't that mean that God has to be wrong? Otherwise, he would already be there in the first place. Yeah. Right? What for? All right. Okay. So let's imagine what it'll be like as if at the church and on our knees, we're all saying, your will be done. We know that God knows what I want. God knows what you guys want. Okay? And if you're able to go to God and say, I will take a yes, a no, or a maybe, but your will be done. Okay? Right, yeah. Let's go to the next part. All right, this is the part we're really good at. All right. Give us today our daily bread. Okay, give us. We're probably all good with our prayers with that part. Give us today our daily bread. So this had roots from when the Israelites were walking around the desert. And every day, except the Sabbath, they got manna they had to go and pick up. Right? So this is saying God is giving us our provision. Right? Everything we have comes from God. And he wants to. God wants to give us these things, but the whole question of this is, what order are we going to do things? First, how awesome God is. Then it's his will. Then we start talking about our provision and our bread. Okay? Spin to the next one. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts, our sins, our wrongdoings. Now remember, this was before Jesus died on the cross, and he's still talking to us about mercy. This is something to think about. As I forgive everyone else, I don't want to be forgiven until I forgive all others. Are we actually forgiving all the other people in our lives? See, I mean, you guys probably know a little bit of accounting. You've got like a sheet, and you've got debtors and creditors. Right, and in your own life, you've got people who do things for you, and they're like a debtor, and you sort of want to get them back, and you've got creditors, and that's who you owe. Are we actively emptying the debtor side of our ledger? Are we going to go and say, hey, before you wipe my name off, hey, let's work through and wipe everyone else's name off our debtors. And then we go to God and say, I want my sheet to be like yours. I've wiped everyone else off my list. Now, can you wipe my name off yours? Are we actually doing that? Or are we expecting, God, forgive us our debts? Well, next one. No. Forgive us our debts if we've forgiven our debtors. Imagine what it will look like if we've got the debtor side of our ledger gone, right? So there's no debtors, there'll be no revenge, no spite. How much back-checking will be happening, talking around people's backs, if the debtor side's been totally wiped out? If we start to pray, we shouldn't be able to finish until everyone is forgiven by us. Yeah. Then, God, forgive me. Wipe me off your debtors list. Righty-o, this is the next one. All right. Lead us into temptation because we can find it good enough on our own. That's right there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is talking about protection. Protection from sin. You do not pray this prayer unless you do not want to sin. This is not like having a sin bucket. Like you write a sermon, you scrub a bit of paper, you know, throw it into a bin, you go out, do some sin, it goes into a little bucket. Let's fill up our bucket, and it's like, oh, I can't go out partying with you tonight because my sin bucket's all full. I need to empty my sin bucket before I can go and do this, that, the other. That's a totally wrong attitude. That's not it at all. There's no point praying for forgiveness until you are sick of sinning and you don't want to sin anymore. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but if you're planning on sinning, this is a joke, right? How big is your God if you can pull the wool over his eyes? Do you think God's, like, who knows all things, by the way, is going to get fooled? This is a bit of a thought there. Okay. So as a quick summary of everything so far, first it was our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're declaring God's greatness.
Yeah.
Okay. And second, after that, we're saying we're surrender. Well, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're surrendering to his will. And more time we spend there on those two things, you'll probably find the less time we've got to spend on everything else. If we've got our perspective right of who God is and his majesty, we won't have to spend as much time talking about provision. Right? Okay, because that's like what Josh said at the start of the sermon is about the, totally forgotten, like persistent widow, right? Persistent widow. God's told us to pray about our needs. He's told us to pray of the things that we require, but it's about putting it in the right order. It's not first thing, I need. No, first God and his greatness, then I need. All right. So as a question, as something to think about, will you take no for an answer? Are you willing to trust God enough that you've got these needs, you've got what you want, are you willing for God to say no? We're always probably happy for God to say yes. Occasionally he might just say maybe. Because God's will comes first.
Yes.
Are we willing? Are you willing that situation you're in to change you? If you're in a bad situation, a less desirable situation, God can use that to change you and become a better person, to be someone closer to Christ. Is there going to be some pain? It's going to hurt. But are you willing for God to use that situation to change you and accept the fact that it's going to be a delay before you get out of it? Yeah. How many times have we prayed for things which several years later we're so thankful that God hasn't given them to us? Okay, I probably would have crashed that Ferrari by now. Okay, the insurance bill would have made me broke. But anyway, see, we see things in such a little tiny bitty bitty box. This is the creator of all of the universe, all of creation. He can see all things before us and after us. And it's about trusting him. Okay, so back to the thing I overlooked a lot earlier. How do we get rewarded? What are these rewards we're talking about? If we pray, we get a reward, right? I said that umpteen verses ago. Okay, what are these rewards? The reward is if we're in sync with God, we're wanting what God's wanting, he's working through us. Isn't that a great reward? If we're in sync with God, it's not saying we're putting our stuff off and then dealing with God's. If we're actually in sync with God's, what we're wanting is the same as what God's wanting, and you're going to get that. That's our reward. We have a much more fulfilling life. We actually get to do what we're designed to do, and that's our reward. I'm probably out of pages by now. Told you I was totally independent. So with that, I'll just like to pray. Oh, that's not good. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've given us. Thank you that you're so magnificent and you're holy and you're creator of all things. Thank you that even in your high and mighty place, you've actually asked us to call you Father. That you care enough for us to be a father of us. You've got a best interest in heart. And even though we don't know what they are, you can still provide and things like that. Lord, we ask you that your will be done, that whatever you want be done. So we put our little kingdoms in the back burner and put your kingdom first, the things which you're wanting us to do, the things which are going to build your kingdom, which gives purpose to this life, that we put them first. We pray that you be with us as we go for that adjustment and getting used to always putting you first. And thank you, Lord, for everything you've provided for us. Thank you, Lord, that we're in this beautiful first world country, and it's just by chance that we're here. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given to us. And forgive us for everything we've done, but also be with us as we work for our list of people we hold grudges with, people we get annoyed with, and as we delete that, as everyone who we just get, all those people, let's help delete those lists so we can actually come to you and delete us and actually be free from holding those debtors. And also protect us for as we go around in our lives, that there are temptations, there is little chocolate cakes everywhere, that you shield us from that. We don't want to sin. We don't want any more separation from us and you. So protect us from that. Shield us. Allow us to put guidelines in our lives so we don't fall into temptation.
Thanks, Peter.